Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This day and all that is in it is a gift from God, and we come to praise God for it. to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending, we're pleased that you're with us. Those of us who are here regularly, we'll seek you out, introduce ourselves, welcome you. We want to meet you, but if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we do want to know you, and we do hope you'll make a home here with us. One way to do that is by being involved in some of the things that God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find a number of those mentioned in the bulletin insert. Our announcements lift up some others. But today we have a very special announcement. Allison Bedford and Norris Watkins are going to join me up here. They are interns with Project Transformation. West End was one of the founding congregations for Project Transformation. We are partners with 61st United Methodist Church, and although we have members who work the entire summer with Project Transformation, this coming week is a week that we dedicate to working with this particular group. So I'm going to have them say a little more about what's going on.
Well, good morning. Like you said, my name is Allison Bedford, and I am from Lakeland, Florida. I'm a graduate of Florida State University, and this fall I'm so excited to be moving to Nashville. I'll start graduate school at University of Tennessee through the Nashville Social Work Master's Program.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Norris Watkins. I'm originally from Birmingham, Alabama. I go to school at Tuskegee University, where I'm majoring in mechanical engineering with a minor in physics, and I'm so glad to be here.
We're just here with you this morning for a few minutes to share a little bit about what Project Transformation is. I'm sure a lot of you have already heard about it, and West End for several years has been so involved and supportive of Project Transformation, so we thank you for that. What Project Transformation is a nonprofit organization through the United Methodist Church. For the past three summers, this is our third summer, we've been providing enriching, just fun, and supportive day camp programs for elementary students and youth middle school through rising 10th grader youth students through all of Nashville. We serve at 61st Avenue United Methodist Church in West Nashville in the nation's neighborhood, and it's awesome. This is my second summer doing it, and we just provide different kinds of programming, including a lot of emphasis on reading and literacy. And we just kind of want to share with you a little bit about our PT stories, Project Transformation stories. I came to Project Transformation last summer, and coming back this summer, it's been amazing to see the same kids' faces just light up every day when they come into camp. They start dancing and singing with us, and as we go throughout the day, it's a great, safe place for the kids to be for 8 weeks during the summer. And I'm so excited to be back as the site coordinator at 61st Avenue.
And this is my first summer here at Project Transformation, and I heard about it through a friend who did it last year. It's a great experience getting to see how we can impact the community there and the children, and get them to see how they can improve in reading in the reading program there, and designing an environment for them to grow and be nurtured. So it's a great way to give back to the communities around us.
Just to kind of wrap it up, and thank you so much again for your time, West End United Methodist Church has been a huge support for Project Transformation since its beginning, and to give you an idea, I believe over the past 3 years, West End has given about $35,000 total in grants and support to Project Transformation, so that is huge, and we definitely could not do it without you. So thank you for your continued support, and if this is your first time hearing about it and you'd like to become more involved, look for Jennifer Hoffman. In your handout, there's a bit with her email address and phone number in it, and she would be glad to partner with you in getting involved with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Norris. Appreciate that very much. And for those of you who walked in and looked at your bulletin and thought you had stepped into Professor Peabody's Wayback Machine, it is not May 2nd, as the bulletin says. It is July 6th, and it is not the second Sunday of Easter. And the opening hymn is not the hymn listed there. You see, we're keeping you on your toes, aren't we? Okay, the opening hymn is number 698, God of the Ages, 698. So when we get to that point, you will want to be singing that hymn, not the one listed in the bulletin. So how are you feeling? Maybe confused? A few aches and pains? Broken heart? Things inside you you'd rather not share with other people? You'd rather not anyone know? Well, I've got good news for you. Jesus didn't come for those of us who were well. Jesus came for those who grieve and are brokenhearted and have things they would rather not share, and for those of us who experience all the aches and pains of life.
Hey, Christians, all with one accord, unite around the sacred word, to praise your holy name, O Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all.
And his compassion is over all that he has made.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord.
And all your faithful shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power.
To make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in union with Christ and one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins towards God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation in love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Matthew. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." The word of the God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My mother was very free with giving out advice, especially to me. And she had certain standard things that she would say and repeat somewhat frequently. One of those was, "You are known by the company you keep." And I know that her intent was a good one. It was to keep me out of bad company. It was to keep me away from people who might lead me into something that I would never think to do myself, or if I thought to do it myself, would not do without their influence. So it was a good thing. Now, there is no record in the Bible that Mary, the mother of Jesus, told him that very same thing: "You are known by the company you keep." But if she did, he routinely ignored it. Today's story is one of those stories. Jesus seemed to have the habit of collecting all the wrong people around him. The wrong people being, as you heard, tax collectors and sinners. Frequently, they were spoken of as tax collectors and prostitutes. So you have your political economic sinner, the tax collector, who conspired with the Romans to essentially rob his own people. And then you had that individual sinner. And yet, this woman who is in prostitution may have found herself with no visible means of support, no way to earn a living except to sell the thing that others thought was valuable about her. You know, the church over 20 centuries has made a concerted effort to clean up Jesus' reputation. Week after week, we invite him to come and hang out with us. Because we're not those people. They're the good people. And, you know, if he hangs out with us, it will improve his reputation considerably. The only problem is you still have to deal with the Bible and the kind of people he preferred to associate with. Over the centuries, we've had a number of images of what the church might be, what this collection of people that we call the church might be seen as. During some periods, it's seen as a fortress or a castle, or in our time, we might say a gated community, a place where the pure gather. Those who are chosen gather there, and if you are fortunate enough, you get the entry code. And once you get the entry code, there are all kinds of rules and regulations you have to follow if you are going to stay in the community. Because you see, it's a community of the pure. And if you're just not pure enough, sorry. Then there are those, especially during the Crusades, who saw the church as an army, the church militant, the church who would violently defend and impose the teachings of Jesus Christ. Oh, how'd that work out for us? On the other hand, there were those nonviolent armies of the civil rights movement that saw the same image of the church fighting injustice, except with different weapons. Weapons of the Spirit. A very popular image of church in our time is the church as a successful business model. You attract lots and lots of people, you make lots and lots of money, and you are successful, you're prosperous, and you know, you follow Jesus, you get successful and you get prosperous. Very popular. That's not how Jesus saw it. Jesus tells us how he saw it. They ask him, why do you hang out with all of these people you shouldn't be around? Don't you know that you are known by the company you keep? And you're not keeping very good company. You're a rabbi. You're a teacher. You should know better. And Jesus has the audacity to say not only that he will hang out with the tax collectors and sinners of various stripes, but that God sent him specifically to do that. Because you see, the righteous don't need what he has to offer. It's only the sinner. The well don't need a physician, he says. Only those who are sick. Jesus sees the church as a hospital for sick people. I'd like to rethink that whole term sinner for a minute. We tend to define sinner as a bad person or someone who does bad things. Seems to me that in his usage of the term, Jesus shifts the ground on us. A sinner in his term is not a bad person. It's a person who stands in need of what he has to offer. The needy. That's who the sinners are. Those who know that they need what Jesus has to offer. You see, we righteous don't think we need anything. We can do it ourselves. We've done it ourselves, right? And we look down on the needy. We look down on those who work three jobs and still can't get by, who aren't paid a living wage, who don't have health care, in spite of all the efforts to offer that, to those who can't read and write, to those who, because of the circumstances of their lives, wind up in a very different place than we have wound up. Same was true in Jesus' time. They looked down on the needy, the sick, the lepers, the poor. But that's who Jesus associated with, those who were in need of what he had to offer. And the problem of the righteous is we keep all that stuff hidden so we don't have to admit that we need what Jesus has to offer. Or we put up a good facade. We put on a good show, but we know what goes on underneath, don't we? And we're just as needy as the next person. In fact, if you start going out to 61st Avenue and you start reading to those kids who, without your help, may not learn to read on grade level, do you know what the primary predictor of someone winding up in prison is? That they read on grade level by third grade. That is a primary predictor. So you go out and you read to them. Otherwise, they might not learn that. They might forget what they learned during the year if they don't have this summer support. Or you go to death row. And you hear the stories of people whose life circumstances have been so different from yours that it makes you wonder, if I had been in those circumstances, would I be there too? You go into someone who's in hospice care and you see the kind of wonderful care that's offered to them. And you see they have the advantage of knowing that their mortality is very present. Their life will end sometime fairly soon. That's true for all of us. We just don't know when. But they need what those caregivers have to offer. Unapologetically. And when we do those things, we find that we have more in common with those folks than we ever imagined. There is more about us that is the same than that is different. We are among the needy. And given just a few circumstances, we could literally be among the needy that we too often look down on. It's one of the reasons we invite everybody to this meal. This meal's for everybody. Not for those who qualify. If you had to qualify, it wouldn't happen. If you had to qualify, I couldn't celebrate. It's for those who feel the need of the presence of Christ in their life. Because it's not my table. And it's not West End's table. And it's not United Methodist Church's table. It is Christ's table. And what is offered is the presence of the one who came to walk among and love those in need of what he had to offer. There's a story that I originally heard from a professor of mine in seminary. I've heard it said in other places since that time. I told it a couple of weeks ago in our continuing summer Sunday school class and thought I would share it with you all in the larger congregation. My professor, Paul Hessert, had started out studying electrical engineering. That was his undergraduate degree. And somehow God got involved. And so he went to seminary, and he went on to graduate school. He got his PhD at Edinburgh at a time when it was after World War II, and it was a time when many of the buildings were not heated. And you know those fashionable gloves that don't have any fingers in them? Well, they cut the fingers out of their gloves on their writing hand so they could take notes. It was so cold in the library. Paul always had a kind of love-hate relationship with academia. He was a good teacher. He was a demanding teacher. But after a while, he left to go serve churches because he felt like this is where God was most active in the world. He told us that when he was at Edinburgh, at St. Giles Church, they were serving communion, and in good Scots Presbyterian fashion, they were passing it up and down the aisles. And one of the stewards, one of the servers, came to the end of an aisle and handed it to the gentleman sitting there, and the gentleman just lowered his head and passed it on without taking the elements, without receiving them. And so when the elements had passed down and back, the steward came back to him. And he said, "It's for those that don't feel worthy." It is. It's for us, the needy. We're going to sing one of my favorite hymns in just a few minutes. Before we go home, we are going to sing, "Come Ye Sinners Poor and Needy." What a great first line. How can you look down on the needy when we have just been invited in that way, we who are poor and needy? Come, you weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. So don't tarry, you poor and needy. Jesus has exactly what we need because he came for folks like us. Not for the righteous, but for the needy. That's our invitation, and the invitation is open to all. Thanks be to God.
It is to be gathered here with each and every person to worship. West End United Methodist believes that God loves everyone unconditionally, regardless of our life's journeys or blunders. It kind of informs how we're called to treat the world. If you're a guest with us, we invite you to join us out these doors to your right in Reed Hall for a time of fellowship and conversation about the ministries of the church or what's going on this next week. If you look in the pew racks directly in front of you, there's a small gray card. One side is for prayer concerns or requests. The other side is for questions or comments for staff or the lay leadership of the church. If you have not yet passed your attendance pads down your pew, I invite you to pass those down at this time. As it comes by, record your attendance and then pass it back down to where it started. And please, open it. Look at the names of the people that you're worshiping with. Meet someone today. Let them know that you're glad they're here. And then if the last person that has it will tear out the pages that have been written on, it saves a tremendous amount of time for our hospitality people after the service. So go ahead and rip out those pages and just lay them on top. You know, God has graciously given us all that we have. And as people of faith, now is an opportunity to return a portion of that to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God of love and mercy and grace, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. So with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you do this, drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now I invite you to join with me in the prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Since there is one loaf, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the same loaf. When we break this bread, it is a participation in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a participation in the blood of Christ. As I said earlier, this is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or a renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We ask that you come by way of the center aisle. Kneel at the chancel rail when you're ready to be served. Simply extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. You're welcome to stay for a time of prayer. And then when you return to your seats, we ask that you return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your seat, we're happy to do that. Just catch our eye, my eye, or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. We take an offering each month at our communion service, and this month the offering goes to One Great Hour of Sharing. That is the single offering we take each year that pays all of the administrative costs for the United Methodist Committee on Relief. Often I'll tell you, when you give your money to the United Methodist Committee on Relief, every penny goes toward what they say it goes toward, relief of that particular catastrophe. The only reason they can do that is because of this offering. This is the offering that takes care of all the administrative costs. So if you would care to contribute to that, there are two plates next to the front pew. You may leave your offering there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please join with me in the prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. Now go in peace, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.